Today's News AF is coming up right after this. But first, I got to take a moment and tell you about one of our sponsors today. And those are our friends over at TrueCar. Because in order to feel comfortable getting a fair price, you need to get that price in context. That's information that empowers you to feel confident with TrueCar. You'll see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience with TrueCar. You can easily find the car that you want. TrueCar is going to show you what other people in your area paid for the car that you're looking for. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. And once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you get there. And with TrueCar, you can connect with that local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience and get you back over to Guy Fieri Con in no time. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with the TrueCar certified dealers as well. And TrueCar users also save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Sesternino, back once again to talk with you about the most interesting news stories of the week of November 28th, 2017, here on Ye Olde News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF.
Buzz, buzz.
News makes you bored to death. It's time for some News AF.
Yes, that's right. Back once again to talk about everything going on in the world here on News AF. And hopefully we have a lot more fun, just like we do every week on News AF. Of course, fresh off of the golf course and an appearance on Rob as a podcast, here is Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, dude. I have a pretty hilarious story about the golf course this morning.
Are you going to hold out on us?
Do you want me to hold out? Should we wait?
No, tell us.
No, too late. No, that's it. That was the story. There was a great story. That was the story. Okay, here we go. So, not uncommon is hitting balls into houses that line the golf course. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. That's not the story. Here's the story.
They're used to it.
So, the kid I was Yeah, I'm used to it. The kid I was golfing with today, we were on the last hole. So, the green is right up against the clubhouse. And they were starting a tournament. So there were like 20 people standing there waiting to start the league play. And so they're kind of watching us a little bit. And I'm not really paying attention to them because they're there all the time. So my buddy hits his ball way long. It goes over the green. There's a road behind it. Bounces off the road across the street into like the planters of a restaurant there. So I'm like, okay. I take my shot and I hit it like 10, 20 yards short of the green. So I have a pretty decent shot. His shot is ridiculous, but he's like, I'm going to play it. So he walks across it. We drive over. He walks across the street. So he's far out of bounds, but he's going to hit it out of the planters in the restaurant anyways. As he's doing that, I'm examining my shot. And I kind of line up to chip it onto the green. And I notice that my ball is sitting in this divot that somebody had dug out a while ago, and it was old, so it was overgrown and grown in a little bit and stuff. Even though I'm on the fairway, it's a pretty deep hole I'm in. So I'm like, well, I know I can't get my club under this ball, so I'm just going to tink my ball like a couple inches out of the hole.
Tink it.
So, yeah. So at first I go to take my swing, and then I like check it, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to hit this ball good at all. So I use my club to tap the ball a couple inches out of the hole. And then I look back, and all 20 people that are waiting to play in the league have been watching me the entire time. And so they see me move my ball 2 inches so I can have a better shot while my buddy is across the street taking the worst shot in the world. And so he can't see what I'm doing. So it totally looks like I'm super cheating. And so then I'm like, oh, geez, dude. So then I just take the shot, and they're watching me the whole time at that point. And I tell him the story after, because A, I got caught cheating by like 20 people, and B, I also really didn't care, because I would have done that no matter how many people were standing there. I would have just been like, I can't hit that shot, so I'm just going to pull it out of there.
Well, they all kept their mouths shut because all golfers cheat. So they knew that if they opened up and accused you, someone else would accuse them.
They would open up the floodgates to the wrath, and everybody would have a story about somebody cheating while playing golf.
If they narked on you, Tyson, would they kick you out of the club?
No.
Oh.
Nothing. Nothing would happen at all except for that it just looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just looked like I was cheating while my friend was like had a terrible shot and was gone.
A man who never cheats on the golf course or anywhere else. Here is the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Pretty good. Nothing's so important that I need to cheat.
What would you have done in that situation? You would have just taken the swing?
Well, I probably would have done the same thing, but it's not cheating if I acknowledge that I don't care about my score. If you're
I wasn't keeping score, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. But it matters to the 20 people who are starting league play.
Who cares about those people? Ties done up to 11. They're just shirts tucked in. Shorts.
They have a lot of respect for the game. A lot of people have a lot of respect for the game, Rob.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well,
no respect for the game.
Yeah.
Not here either.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that there will be nobody here to narc on us today. And if they are, go back to your league podcast, okay?
Yeah.
All these people waiting for the mic.
With all the structure and the rules that you crave.
Get out of here with that. You're not going to find that here today.
No rules, just right.
A lot of news stories to get into. Tyson and I talked about our Thanksgiving. Danny, how was your Thanksgiving?
I mean, it was pretty run-of-the-mill. Turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, some pies. I'm not really pie guy.
Nobody is. That's why we only have them at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Everybody likes cake better.
They're good for smashing into faces.
I know pie guys.
You do? That pie like pie over pies over cake?
Yeah.
No.
It's true.
I think that the pie thing is, it can be good because the things that make a pie good is the reason that cakes kind of suck. Cakes can be dry, right? So pies are always nice and moist. And so they've got that going for them. But sometimes they're just a sloppy mess. You're like, what is this slop you've just put onto my thing?
They're always a sloppy mess.
Pie always needs ice cream because it like needs this companion dessert to make it worthwhile. Or Cool Whip. Yeah, it always needs something. That's the problem with that. Cake comes with the frosting with kind of all the accessories already put on. But people are like, here's pie and here's a bunch of stuff to make pie taste better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree, but I feel like that the combination can be pretty good.
A cake and a pie together?
I feel like we've done that news story before.
Huh. Yeah, we have. We've covered it.
Pie cake comes back around.
Yeah, the pie cake-in. That's right.
I'm sure those stories are coming. They're right around the corner. A man who perhaps has had a pie cake-in or two in his lifetime, maybe Guy Fieri, a hero to some. And he is a person who has launched a new, or I shouldn't say it's him, but a bunch of his disciples have gotten together in the second annual Guy Fieri Con, where about 100 people have descended upon New York to do a Guy Fieri themed bar crawl. Tyson, you're a big Guy Fieri guy, right?
Who is it? Yeah, who is it?
Yeah.
It's so good. I love this idea because it really shows that you've turned yourself into a huge joke when people are doing stuff like this. Like they're celebrating how ridiculously lame you are. And it's like like I have friends on Facebook who only post like Guy Fieri memes and they're never funny, but it's just funny that it's Guy Fieri because he probably at one time for a short amount of time was like, I'm pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the ultimate form of flattery, though, to have a bunch of people dressed up as you wandering around? Is that when you peaked?
I don't know. I don't know if I can put myself in that mind frame where I know people aren't laughing with me.
Yeah.
They're definitely laughing at me.
Right.
And then they celebrate this by dressing up like me in like the bowling shirt with flames on it and then saying Flavor Town every 10 seconds.
Right. There is no real indication that these people are actual fans of Guy Fieri, that they have taken him as their leader, but they appear to be ironic millennials, Danny.
But here's the thing, right? First of all, if people can assemble a costume of you, I feel like that's a compliment. If they can assemble just a couple pieces, hair, headband, and shirt, and people can instantly recognize you, that says something about your status.
Yeah.
No, cause- so, I mean, he's Guy Fieri has created an image that is instantly recognizable even when other people put it on.
Right. Yeah, he's got a really unique look. He looks like he stepped out of a Smash Mouth video in 1999. And he's the only person still rocking this look of the bowling shirt, like frosted blonde hair and a goatee. Nobody else is doing that.
The best way to approach this, if you're Guy, is to just accept the joke and become part of it. Like, contact them. Maybe go on the, with them on their next bar crawl. Because then I feel like you kind of, you add some legitimacy and you remove some of the insult.
Yeah, yeah. There's a radio host in New York, Mike Francesa, and he, there's a Francesa con, and he has embraced it. He goes to it, and they love him. Guy Fieri needs to be there for the third annual Guy Fieri con.
If you get, if you hate it, and like it really bothers you, you just add fuel to the fire. Then it becomes more of a mockery rather than maybe kind of an ironic tribute. So you got to just embrace it and go with these guys for at least one bar crawl. And then you'll be a legend.
Yeah. They all have the Guy Fieri sunglasses too, Danny. That's very important to be on the Guy Fieri bar crawl.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I the thing I don't like are these guys who are on the bar crawl without the wig, the bandana and glasses.
Yeah, they shouldn't
get those guys out of the group.
They shouldn't count. They should be excommunicated from FieriCon.
They should, because they're just regular guys.
Yeah. They're just like the gawkers wanting to check out FieriCon. Yeah. Maybe they bought a ticket.
Yeah. No, you can't be the guy that goes to Comic-Con just to mock the people that are at Comic-Con. Like, you have to go and participate, even,
right.
If you want to be a spy, you still have to participate.
Right. Yeah. If you want to, you know, go check out, like, the Eyes Wide Shut party, you still got to, you know, wear the mask.
Masquerade.
Naked,
yeah,
right.
You still got to, yeah, exactly. You still got to take
Nobody
your pants off.
Nobody just gets to come and watch. That's it. FieriCon. Now, FieriCon, while an impressive idea, had about 100 people there. Don't you feel like that we could do a better job with FieriCon? Like, can we, like, invent the next FieriCon?
Why don't we do a live news AF around FieriCon next year in New York?
We should be there.
I think we could find something more entertaining
than FieriCon.
I mean, these guys don't look like a lot of fun.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like they're having a lot of fun, but it doesn't, I'd like to do something that has more on the periphery, right, like more activities, more, I don't know.
Who is it?
Like Comic-Con.
Who can we find? Gary Busey? Like, we need to find the next person.
The Busey-Con or Nicolas Cage-a-thon.
Yeah.
I think Nicolas
Cage-a-thon. Millennials love Nicolas Cage, ironically.
Mm.
We could all dress up in bear costumes, like from his movie Wicker Man.
What about, I want to be the skull guy, where he was that superhero skull guy.
Look, that's the thing with Nicolas Cage. He's played so many memorable roles that you could really have fun with that if you had a Nicolas Cage-a-thon.
But
I think that's the way
would
to
it
go.
Would it be too different? Would you have too many different looks going on at Nick Cage-a-thon?
No, because they're not different if everybody knows the source of the look. Like,
well, maybe
off.
We could just, maybe it could be Nick Cage Con Air-a-thon, and you could actually have a different one every week. Because Con Air, I mean, if you're going to dress up as Nick Cage, Con Air costume is probably the best one.
Well, it's easy too. It's cheap.
Yeah. Every year is the Nick Cage-a-thon a different theme. Like, this year it's Nick Cage-a-thon : the Weatherman.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, or Face Off. So everybody comes as John Travolta.
I feel like that Nick Cage-a-thon might be too mainstream. I feel like we might need to go even more niche than Nick Cage. Believe
really?
It or not.
Yeah, but he's got so much variety. That's the thing, is that I'm looking at his IMDb page, and it's just like there's so much you could do with it.
Well, and people, nobody loves him like... Nobody's a real Nick Cage fan. They're only a Nick Cage fan in the fact that it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? There are so many movies. I just feel like he's got a lot to offer. There's a lot of room to have fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And where should we do? I got to do Nick Cage-a-thon in Las Vegas, right? We're like leaving Las Vegas.
I think you have to go
to
Las Vegas.
Or Raising Arizona, Tyson.
Yeah. I'm in Arizona right now.
Yeah.
Was Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, my
Wind
goodness.
Talkers.
Yeah.
Adaptation was actually a good one. Mm-hmm. Weatherman.
Yeah.
The Wicker Man.
Raising Arizona. Arizona was the name of the baby, or is yep. Raising Arizona a city?
Is the name of the baby.
That was the name of the baby. Okay.
Yeah. But I think they were also in Arizona.
Oh, well, Tyson, you could bring Bergen for Nick Cage at con, and then just yeah. say that she's the baby.
So it's set then? We are doing this?
Unless
I'll have to look at my schedule.
Okay. Yeah. The Nick Cage-a-thon. I think Nick Cage is perfect. I think yeah. it's the perfect amount of ironic love.
Mm-hmm.
And and people think it's funny enough that they will pay to show up.
Yeah.
Do you think Nicolas Cage would show up? Because I feel like he'll show up for any movie you offer him. So yeah. he might be willing to show up for
this. I think he'll show up for the first one because he'll think it's real. And then when he finds out that everybody's laughing.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. I think that that he won't show up for the first one. Then when he sees what a big deal the first one is, then he'll show up for the second one.
Or okay. I guarantee if we offered him some, like, you know, like gave him some coupons for Dairy Queen, he would show up.
I thought you were going to say some Whippets.
Yeah. Maybe. No, save that for the pie for the Nick Cage-a-con. We need those for dessert. Okay. What's coming up. Nick Cage-a-con. We'll see what the schedule is for that. A lot of people are going to need to get out of work to attend Nick Cage-con whenever we do it. And so,
is this a type of segue?
Yeah. There's a man in Australia who has some ideas of how people can get into work. And he was able to MacGyver something that was able to help him stay cloaked from his boss, who was phoning for him, while he was able to go out and play a bunch of golf 140 Whoa. Times in the last 2 years. They say that no other person with an important job has ever golfed as much as this man, Tom Colella.
Did he have an important job?
Yes, he was an electrician.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know if he was like the top electrician or like management or something. I feel like they golf a lot.
Yes. Well,
management golfs a lot.
They do. They do. They're getting deals done, though. And so
170 times in 2 years.
140 times.
140.
That they know of, Tyson.
That's now, still a lot.
Was this
That's
guy
more than Trump?
Was this yeah. guy one of the people that was out there watching you this morning?
Yeah, he was one of the guys that was just like cheater. Dirty, rotten cheat. Well, long-haired, no respect
no
for the game.
Honor among thieves, because this guy yeah. was playing hooky from work, and the way that he was able to do it, the way that he was able to avoid getting the calls from his boss, was that he was putting his phone-like GPS inside a foil bag of chips. Specifically,
I believe they call that a Faraday.
Yes, a Faraday cage. That he cage. Put them in a package of Twisties, which is a puffy cheese-based snack popular in Australia. And he
why not just turn it off?
I don't know if you can turn on that. This thing that he had, it wasn't just a phone. It was like a GPS tracking device. He was able to render it Sounds useless.
Like is he on house arrest? This might work for those ankle things that you get when you get house arrest.
Well, I wonder if these electricians, if they're sort of like, so their boss can track their movements, that they have to have yeah. this sort of GPS on their person.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that that's part of the requirement of the job, is having to have your work phone with your GPS on.
Sounds like a hostile
times.
Work environment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to demand that we get GPSs on us?
Who, me?
Rob? Yeah.
Why? So I could track
our movements?
I only am really you know, worried about where you guys are for about an hour and 10 minutes a week. The rest of you guys can, you know,
we're contractors.
Podcasters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Danny, we're contractors.
Do you know he got busted by an anonymous letter? And I'll tell you exactly what happened. An anonymous letter from someone who was super jealous that they only got to golf a handful of times.
Or somebody who constantly beat at golfing.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly who would report you.
Mm-hmm. And now his new job is that he's driving an Uber. Could you imagine you call this Uber and it's like, I just called this Uber. I can't find, he's not showing up anywhere on the map.
Yeah, I just
got
charged.
Where is this guy? It says he's going to be here in a minute. I don't see it. His little car icon isn't there and he just pulls up.
Yeah, but this guy is the Uber driver for Tyson. Hey, Uber driver, know where I can go play some good golf?
Yeah.
Boom. He's ready with the
suggestion. He's probably already in a
like
golf club.
Twisties?
Yeah.
Did you say fisties? Or
take
twisties?
Is that a golf
whatever
term?
Whatever he offers. No, I don't know. But you know what's interesting about this story is that it says right here that the tribunal found that the packet was deliberately used to operate as an elaborate Faraday cage. He's in front of a tribunal.
Yeah.
He's got a GPS tracker. He's got to go in front of a tribunal. Where is he? Is this some kind Hunger Games scenario? What is going on in this story? What's going on in
Australia? He's the electrician in the Hunger Games.
He's still working at 60. He's going in front of tribunals.
Yeah.
Is this pretty regular stuff in Australia?
He's fighting the good fight.
So I think that he's trying to say that he didn't do anything wrong and he's being wrongly fired. And I think that he's trying to say that nobody told him he couldn't put his GPS in a foil bag.
I used it to carry it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing everybody wants is their phone or GPS device covered in grease.
Yeah.
Right?
Tend to smell like
delicious
crisps. Crisps.
All right. Anybody who's wanting to give that a shot, do that at your own risk. That is not a advised plan from the...
But also let us know how it goes.
On News 8.
Yeah, let us know if you wind up in front of a tribunal. Yeah. That just sounds so harsh.
So you think that's the repercussions for using a Faraday cage is... ending up in front of a tribunal?
Yeah, if I got summoned, and if I got a letter that said, you've been summoned to face a tribunal, I'm assuming that the outcome of this tribunal is a hanging, beheading.
Yeah, you
I now
eat
have to
the
wear a scarlet
pill.
Letter, whatever.
Cyanide.
Yeah, something horrible comes from tribunals. Nothing good ever happened there.
You know, we talked about that we should be a panel of judges. I guess that would be a tribunal. And we said that there's no judge shows with three judges, but we actually were corrected by the listeners that there is a show called Hot Bench, which is a tribunal.
Hot Bench. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like what the kids are doing these days.
What kind of movie
is it? Each other hot benches.
Oh, they're doing the Hot Bench?
They're doing the Hot Bench. Kids these days, those millennials are out there doing the hot bench.
Hot benching each other.
Yeah.
Hot benching. Yeah.
All right. Well, a tribunal has sentenced a herd of donkeys into...
No, stop. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't talk anymore. This is not a real story.
This is a real story. This is in India. A herd of donkeys has been jailed for 4 days after eating some pricey vegetation that was used to decorate a jail compound. So there were plants decorating a jail, and then a bunch of donkeys came and ate the plants, and so they sent the donkeys to the jail, Tyson.
No.
Yes.
No.
Is this real, Danny?
It might be. Donkeys are always in jail. They're always tied up.
Not these ones.
Or in a pen.
Not, you know what?
They got
wild,
free roaming
not a wild
donkeys.
Burrow. Not a wild Dude, burrow.
Wild donkeys are dangerous. You don't want to get a wild donk near you. That's just, they bite.
This is a story from IndiaToday.in.
Cows are revered. Cows are revered and donkeys are disrespected. What kind of world is that?
Yeah.
You know what, though? If we're going to jail animals, I mean, there's lots. It seems like geese would often be jailed. They're always attacking people. They're doing way worse than what the donkeys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, geese are always charging people. We've told stories about crows with knives, monkeys with knives.
Well, if they can catch those animals, they'd lock them up, too.
Is that just the problem? They can't catch the geese or the monkeys or the crows?
Yeah.
But the donkey's an easy one?
Yeah, that was an easy one. Well, the donkeys so belong crazy. To somebody, and I think it's more of a punishment for the guy who owned the donkeys, that they were taking your donkeys and we're locking them up and you can't have them, more so than they're punishing the donkeys.
You.
Right. According to the officials, these donkeys destroyed some very expensive plants, which our senior officer had arranged for planting inside the jail, and despite warnings, the owner let loose his animals here, so we've detained the donkeys.
You've done him a favor, because now he doesn't have to feed the donkeys.
Yeah, but they also can't work for him.
Well, it doesn't sound like they are doing much work to begin with. They're wandering around eating prison food.
Yeah, they're just hungry donkeys.
Okay. So what should we do with the donks?
The donk? I mean, first of all, set up a tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get a whole tribunal, yes.
Yeah, of other donkeys, because only a donkey should judge another donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think interspecies judgments should count.
So who's the Judge Judy of donkeys? Not Judge Judy.
Right.
We'd have to find the most intelligent donkey in all the world to sit in judgment of all the other donkeys.
Now, we have a kangaroo court, but there's no such thing as a donkey court.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
He seemed like
sure,
a pretty
donkey
intelligent
Kong
donkey.
Is an ape. He's not even a donkey.
Yeah, he's an ape.
He's just named after a donkey. And frankly, he's a king, which is different than a judge.
Why did they get donkey a Donkey Kong?
You'd have to ask somebody at Nintendo.
They probably built the game and had a donkey throwing those barrels.
That doesn't look like a donkey.
And they're like, wow, that looks ridiculous.
Telephone. Can you call Mr. Nintendo? Hi, Mr. Nintendo. Yeah, where did you get the name for Donkey Kong?
Maybe
it was
just a
weird translation from Japanese. Yeah. Okay.
Gorilla is donkey.
Yeah. It's they're off by just one little line.
Mm-hmm. Now, to me, I feel like that this was entrapment for the donkeys. They put this like delicious vegetation out in front of the jail just to attract the donkeys, just to lock them up. It's like almost like they put like this like some delicious meal out on the street and like waited for people to walk by. It's like, "Oh, you took that. That's it. You're going to jail."
I think that donkeys will eat anything, so technically, you know, there's traps.
No, you're thinking of ghosts.
Really? I don't know. Donkeys, from what I know, seem like they're kind of like a garbage animal.
No, that's goats.
No, meaning that it doesn't get a lot of respect. You see them, they look dirty and downtrodden.
Mm-hmm. People
call
them
just goats.
Yeah.
Tyson, goats are in this category.
Oh.
But I'm putting donkeys in with goats. It's just like kind of like a trash animal.
Trash.
So what's the hierarchy of trash animals?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll have to create a chart, a pyramid chart.
Yes.
But I don't know right off the top of my head.
Can you cross-reference that with the small woodland animals?
Tyson's already given us the definitive chart on small woodland animals. As far as trash animals go, I'll have to build the list.
What other animals
but we know that donkeys
are in the category of trash animals?
Yeah, are there other animals
raccoons?
In that trash?
Okay.
No, that's on the small woodlands chart.
No.
There's no crossover.
They can cross
There's no
over.
Venn diagram of woodland animals and trash animals.
They're
talking
literally
about animals.
Eat trash.
Yeah, but they willingly hunt for trash. These goats and donkeys are fed trash by their owners.
What about a different. Yak? Is a yak in the trash animal hierarchy?
No.
I think that a yak or a llama could be in a trash animal category depending on whether or not they're domesticated.
What about an alpaca?
Yeah, for sure.
I think this is too broad. Camels? Now what? I think we're just getting into the spitting pachyderms.
I don't have a piece of paper in front of me that's already been prepared. This is just a new concept I've come up with. But I think there is a category called trash animals.
I know sometimes that goats eat tin cans because I've seen it in cartoons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever seen a cartoon donkey eat a tin can.
No, it's not necessarily that they eat trash. It's that they're kind of like disrespected by people. Like, oh, there's a donkey. You know, like you kick a donkey, you kick a goat. It's they're trash animals. They're
not
cute enough.
Those.
They're not cute enough to get respect like your loved up woodland animals, right?
No, not all of those. You remember the hierarchy. Some of them are terrifying and some of them are okay.
But like donkeys and some goats are cute, but not all goats. I just feel like there's some that just don't get any respect. They just are not quite domesticated and not quite wild. and they're kind of in floaters, floating trash animals.
One thing is for
sure. Floating trash animals.
We're not letting any trash animals into Nick Cage Con.
No. Yeah. Do leave your trash animals at home if you're coming out to the Cage of Con.
Send those to Cage Con. That's it.
Yeah.
This is a comment we got from John, who says, Miyamoto used donkey to convey stubborn in English. The name Donkey Kong was intended to convey stubborn ape to the American audience. When he suggested his name to the Nintendo of America, he was laughed at, but the name stuck.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a great name. Everybody knows Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And that's they made it a thing. Okay.
Yeah, they sure did.
Also, Christina says, I've seen a donkey wear a tin can for a hat. Do we have a witness on this?
So one man's food is another. One man's trash is another animal's food is another animal's hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. Maybe he had a GPS that he put into the tin can so that nobody could track.
Oh, yeah, because did you know any metal container will work as a Faraday cage?
It's donkey's day out. Okay. This is the story that is, I think, crosses over into a lot of different things that we're talking about. Technology, parenting, bullying, a lot of intersections here.
Another sex robot story?
No, there's no sex robots in this story. There is a mom in New York. I'm sorry that this is reported in the New York Daily News, but it's a Virginia mom who is charged with a felony after her 9-year-old daughter, Sarah, was being bullied at school. So the mom sent the daughter to school with a digital recorder in her backpack to be able to, one, record the bullying and then prove that the school was doing nothing about it. The problem is that the plan backfired and blew up in her face, and the school found the recorder, and now they had the mom arrested.
Lots of things. Now, all the other bullies are going to be like, are you wearing a wire?
Yeah, you got to check for a wire.
It's going to be so much harder for the police to infiltrate these bully packs because now all of them are going to be looking for a wire.
Yeah. Shake down his backpack, check under his shirt for a wire, give him a wedgie, see if there's a wire in there. Yeah. Let's go.
The
other thing is, how did they find out the tape recorder was in there? If the mom didn't tell the girl and she found a running tape recorder in her backpack, obviously she's going to be like, whoa, where has this come from? Who is recording me? And take it to the administration at her school, the principal.
Yeah.
Not a good plan.
I bet the 9-year-old probably took it out. I bet that the 9-year-old was not really complicit. That's the word of the year with the plan.
Or did the tape recorder just start saying out loud, tape full, please turn over. Tape full, please turn over.
It was a digital
audio recorder, Danny. It wasn't
Oh my gosh. Guys, this conspiracy digs in even deeper. The bully.
What's that?
The bully is, in fact, the principal, maybe. The administration is the bully.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So they're like, oh, we're almost caught. Let us really set a precedent with this woman by having her arrested. That way we can bully these kids without fear of the parents catching on.
Right.
Well, good thing she wasn't in India, because it sounds like, those donkeys were only eating foliage.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Yeah, what the tribunal would do over there to a person with a running tape recorder at school.
Right.
Here it's just a felony, no big deal. In India, who knows?
So do the bullies need to wait until gym period so that they can
shower?
The kid is changing, make sure there's no wire, make sure that the
don't even have to
devices.
Wait for them to change.
Yeah.
That's the classic Ender's game. That's the classic Ender's game where they bully him in the shower because they know that it's not being monitored.
Right. Right. I think that, Paul
but in this climate, you can't bully
the health club, I think.
Yeah, but you can't bully anybody in the shower in this climate for two reasons. Bullying and bullying somebody naked. Mm-hmm. That's two big no-nos.
Two big things. So the crime that the mom was committed or is being charged with is that the school district has prohibited electronic devices especially to record on school property. And that's why they're charging the daughter's mom with a felony.
Why is it that the school district doesn't want electronic recording devices on their property? That
bullies, makes me wonder. All of them.
They're all bullies. The mom had just finished all 1 million seasons of The Wire. That's probably how she got this idea.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But how bad do you think the bullying is getting now after this story has blown up?
She's basically put a target on her daughter's back that says, bully me. I have no tape recorder.
Teachers are strong-arming her in the hall.
Right.
What's that called where you check somebody with your shoulder?
I think it's just check.
I think it's just check.
Body check.
Checked me? Yeah. She's just getting body checked like crazy. How come you two know what that was?
Because we do it all the time, walking down the street. Right, Rob?
Yeah.
But only to people smaller and weaker than myself.
Right. And if they're not carrying a backpack with a recording device in it.
Yeah, of course. Or video or whatever.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Are you filming this? No, why would I film this? Because of this. Smash.
Danny, what would you do if you were in the position of this woman and one of your kids came home, Dad, I'm being bullied at school. The school's doing nothing about it. What could you do?
Jeez, if I could solve this problem, I'd be a hero. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's in me to be the hero.
That's hard.
Probably just move.
Move.
Yeah.
Move to Arizona. That's why Tyson moved to Arizona. He's being bullied in Utah.
Homeschool your kids for the next 15 years.
Yeah, homeschool. That's good.
That's hard. That is hard. Because if part of you is like, well, it depends on how bad. Like if it's physical bullying and they're not doing anything, then, I mean, in today's climate, it's so fragile. You don't know what to do with that stuff. But older generation, like a baby boomer would be like, okay, so what you want to do is you want to sock him in the nose.
Punch him in the throat. Punch him in the throat.
You gotta surprise him. You gotta
here's some doorknobs and a sock.
When they least expect it, you go after the biggest one and you make sure to finish him. When he's down, you kick him in the face. They're gonna be so terrified.
You get those thumbs into the eyeballs and you just keep pushing.
That's what they told the donkeys before they went into the big house. That's how they were gonna survive 4 days in jail.
Yeah. So you're thinking, so that's the old system, but the new system. My mom, I was getting bullied once, and my mom sent me to school with an entire bag of root beer candies.
Oh, win them over.
Yeah, to win them over.
Mm.
And she's did like, it just set a precedent?
The bullies took them from you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the bullies. So the bullies, after. The bullies punched me in the face, took the candy, and then gave me a wedgie. And then pulled my pants down and put me on stage in front of the auditorium. It actually worked, but the bully that was picking on me was so surprised and weirded out by it that it made me feel weird, too. Because I was like,
maybe do something. Maybe
here, do you want a piece of candy? And they were like, yeah. And then he took it. And then probably I changed his whole life. Now he's like
probably
on the straight and narrow. He's probably a pastor changing millions of people's lives, like the non-molesting style of pastor.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Maybe have your mom hire a makeup artist and give you tons of open sores. And when he goes to assault you, you just expose your arms and be like, I have Ebola or whatever.
I was thinking when he said makeup artist, like a bunch of muscle definition.
Like paint like a six pack.
Yeah. And like arms, so she's like cut arms and stuff, but you went the other way. Just like you went the more embarrassing route for sure, because you don't want a kid to show up to school with brimming with confidence because he feels like he has muscles. You want a kid to show up just embarrassed, be alive, covered in pussy sores.
Yeah, open pussy sores. Then nobody will at least touch them. He'll get emotional abuse, verbal abuse, but nobody's going to touch him.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another story.
That's definitely the way you're going, Danny, if this happens to your kids.
I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'll consult a magic eight ball.
The Ebola kit, it's only $9.99 at Walgreens.
I just got back from Industrial Light and Magic. They showed me
Our other listener said, have them wear one of those tattoo shirts. Like they got a full sleeve of tattoos. It's like a 6-year-old.
Nobody will mess with
them. Good idea.
right, before we get to our next story, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor, and those are friends over at LaCroix Sparkling Water. Calorie, sweetener, and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial. Just like we hate fake news on this podcast, there's nothing fake about LaCroix Sparkling Water. No calories, no sweeteners, no sodium. It's innocent. LaCroix Sparkling Water is certified kosher, gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO. We don't talk a lot about the GMO.
No, genetically modified.
Yeah, no, nobody is playing with the DNA of the sparkling water fruits because it's natural, environmentally friendly, flavored with a hint of fruit essences. 13 flavors, tangerine, mango, apricot, passion fruit. Those are the new ones. Peach, pear, coconut, lemon, lime, berry, cran, raspberry, orange, and grapefruit and pure round out the lineup. That's flavor town right there, Tyson. Yeah,
that's a tropical paradise in your refrigerator right there.
And yeah. Mouth eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. If you're doing it right. The LaCroix family also includes 6 blended flavors. Pineapple, strawberry, appleberry, cherry lime, kiwi watermelon, blackberry, cucumber, cantaloupe, pink grapefruit. Has a bolder flavor available nationwide. Of course, LaCroix Sparkling Water is available nationwide. So, Tyson, don't worry about it not being available in your new state.
Yeah, you can't that as a carry-on, Tyson, but you can buy it wherever you go.
That's
and
right.
You can probably buy it in the airports once you get past security.
That's right. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social media at LaCroix Water. That's LaCroix Water. Or check them out at LaCroixWater.com. And for a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com. So we have been talking about the rise of the sex robots, just the overall robot industry.
Is that still happening?
It's happening.
Yeah, it's still happening in a big way. And even though it's really just at the beginning of the dawn of the robot sex era, that there are some people that have already defined themselves as a person who is only attracted to robot sex dolls. And these people are referred to, there's officially a term for this.
Lonely men.
The digi.
As what?
Digisexual.
Oh.
That is when your sexual identity is coming through the use of technology.
And what restroom will they use?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a gender issue. It's not that that's their gender is digisexual, but that is their sexual preference is a robot.
Okay. So you're saying that all asexuals will now become digisexuals?
Well, no, some of them will stay what they want to be. But if you
just
are
don't
only
deal with the hassle.
If you are only attracted to sex robots, that makes a digisexual.
Is it a sex robot, or can you be just attracted to your telephone or your computer? What defines a digisexual?
That's a good point.
Well, I could give you.
Is it attraction to technology, or is it attraction to? Is it attraction to a bunch of like wire guts with a silicone? Casing over it that looks like a sexual partner.
Okay. So there is a report that was in the Journal of Sexual and Relationship Therapy where they talked to researchers from the University of Manitoba, Canada. Shout out to all of our Canadian listeners who are
funding
this research. And so this is from the associate professor Neil MacArthur. He says that as the technologies advance, their adoptions will grow, not adoptions of other robot babies. People will come to identify themselves as digisexuals, people whose primary sexual identity comes through the use of technology. People will find that their experiences with this technology become integral to their sexual identity, and some will prefer them to direct sexual interactions with humans.
Okay. Yeah, so it sounds like any type of technology that you are sexually attracted to is going to be a digisexual.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, we've had digisexuals since the dawn of video.
Why? People are more attracted to the video?
Probably.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. They use technology to build their relationships with all the
yeah
with themselves. Yes.
Now, here's the good news, though. It's not all bad. That the
didn't sound bad.
None of this has sounded bad so far, Rob. But keep going.
While the report they're saying could harm relationships, possibly causing divorce and bringing about feelings of shame and guilt and leaving people in debt. They do.
Yeah, all of that stuff is like good or bad. All of that stuff could be good or bad.
Good or bad. Okay? The upside is that it will allow people to experience more sexual pleasure and have new experiences, particularly for people who struggle to find human partners who have experienced sexual trauma in the past. So that's
so you're saying this, that Rob, that even though your wife divorces you, your kids right. leave you forever,
right.
you spend all of your money down to zero, you will have a greater sexual experience?
Right.
Totally worth it.
Right.
Yep.
So, but especially for people that struggle to find the human partners, I suspect that those will be most of the people that are digisexual.
Humans are so difficult. Like getting to know other humans, taking them out to dinner,
I think it's
relationships
gonna be...
of trust. It's so much easier just to get a robot and pre-program it with everything you like all the Star Trek episodes you want to reference to the sex robot.
They'll know all of
those
that.
Things.
Because you can program them to know everything. You can be like, can you also repeat every Simpsons joke that was ever told in just daily conversation? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, yeah, we can do that. And then you get to share that with them.
Also, robot, can you never argue with me about finances or the dishes or cleaning the house or any of those things?
Right.
Actually sounds like a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. So what you're saying people that are having a hard time forming human relations are going to be the main digisexuals. I disagree. I think it's anybody who wants something easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easy.
I could see that.
Do you think that the digi or that the robots will be attracted to people that are already?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You don't even have to go further with that. Robots will never be attracted to people. It's like, okay, I can have a perfectly sculpted whatever I want type of body and personality in front of me that will never age and always learn about me even more. Or I can go with a human.
This gross lump of flesh that just complains,
getting grosser and lumpier,
horrible, and becomes more disgusting, is decaying before my eyes.
Yeah, sure, I fart sometimes, but it's to cool down my mainframe, and it just smells like overheated electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea about gas, Tyson. I never even thought of that. That a robot would pass gas as a cooling mechanism?
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
Overheat.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on any other news about the digisexuals in the coming months. There was a big brouhaha that happened over social media between two legendary fast food franchises as McDonald's had like a mistweet from over the weekend. It looked like that they were looking to get some copy on Black Friday and were unable to track down what the tweet was supposed to be. And McDonald's tweeted Black Friday **, need copy and link **. And then I guess that was the first tweet, and then they came out. I don't know if they tried to like cover it. Then they tweeted, when you tweet before your first cup of McCafe, nothing comes before coffee. So I think they tried to make it seem like they meant to do that, but it seemed like that they tweeted out something that was like, oh, we need the tweet for today.
That's a pretty good recovery, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the second tweet, and I've got to say, it looks nice. They did a great job.
Nice and clean.
Nice and clean.
Yep.
However, Wendy's, and we've talked about like what a D-I-C-K the Wendy's social media account can be at times,
can
right?
Can be.
Right? I mean, they're really, they're just, they're coming for people's wigs left and right. Wendy's comes along and says, when the tweets are as broken as the ice cream machine.
Yeah, it sounds like McDonald's is going to be sending an employee with a recording device into Wendy's. Because
they're going to get constantly bullied.
Yeah, that pigtailed ginger is really bullying people.
She's mean.
She's kind of mean.
Yeah, you know, she wasn't that big of an a-hole when Dave Thomas was alive.
Could be. That guy was so nice.
So you think the death is what kind of was the trigger for her?
It was a trigger.
She seems bitter.
Let's hope she doesn't turn into an AI.
Right. I mean, the Wendy's like profile used to be like, hey, I'm nice Dave Thomas. Look, I made you this burger.
I'm like your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And now Wendy is just this psycho troll just like coming after
bitter.
Everybody.
Yeah. Even the little guys. Like Arby's.
No, Arby's.
Poor
is not
Arby's.
Little. Arby's bought Buffalo Wild Wings today, Tyson. Did you see
that? Oh, they did?
Yeah.
And I think they. I think Wendy's owns Arby's, too. Doesn't Wendy's own
Does
Arby's
Wendy's
or somebody?
Own Arby's?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think
I don't know.
That. I don't know if that's the case. Because I think they would have said Wendy's bought Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Danny, are you
Well, I don't know what
this?
It is.
I'm just reading through all of Wendy's tweets.
Right.
And she seems kind of bitter. I mean, Wendy's by now, this is the picture that they use for Wendy's. This is her when she was younger. By now, she's probably a bitter middle-aged woman.
She's just waiting for the digisexual era to finally take over so she can
so
be
she
happy.
So she can find a body. Yeah, so she can find a body that someone else can pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's also upset.
Though, have a story related to this. So yes. I went golfing on Sunday morning. Afterwards, me and my friends decided we needed a quick breakfast. We went to McDonald's. My friend ordered a Jamocha, whatever Jamocha thing they have going on.
Jamocha?
There. I don't know if it's Jamocha or a Java or a Frappuccino or something.
Okay.
Machine was broken.
Broken.
Ah.
Wendy was right.
So even though she likes to point out people's flaws, a lot of times
she has a point.
And that's what stings even worse is when it's actually true.
It's true.
Yeah, well, I would say to Wendy, when you point at somebody, you've got what? Three fingers pointed back at you. So you got to be careful turning on that spotlight. Wendy's is pretty gross.
Ouch. Danny starting a battle with Wendy's.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I'm not trying to sell chicken sandwiches, so I can be a little bit more angry.
Yeah. So they'll come. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do to you?
They can't take anything from me.
Yeah. All they can do is try and find the most personal thing they can about you and attack it.
Yeah.
I would love it if Wendy's Twitter account came for Danny later today.
Do you think if enough of our listeners tweet out what Danny said on here, that Wendy's will come for Danny?
Still, I wouldn't. Guys, I wouldn't know because I got a new phone and I was setting it up and I couldn't remember the password to Twitter.
I remember your password.
Been on it for a while.
I remember your password.
What
6969 man. Remember, it's your password for everything.
That sounds like that's my password for everything.
Yeah.
It definitely was the password I used to get into your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
Remember when Wendy's wouldn't even give that kid nugs for a year after he got like 3 million retweets for that one tweet asking for chicken nuggets?
Like they didn't end up giving him nugs?
They did, but they really made him like work for it just for, you know, some chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah, those chicken nuggets.
Give us 10
chicken nuggets are the hot dog.
City first.
Yeah. They are the hot dog of the fast food world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. The chicken nuggets are the hot dog of the chicken world.
It's all that goop scooped up from the floor.
Maybe this has come full circle, but I feel like that the pink slime story with the McNuggets, that turned out to be fake news.
Well, I think pink slime is what you get when you ground raw, fresh chicken into paste, because raw chicken isn't white. Raw chicken is pink.
Mm.
Look, those chicken nuggets at McDonald's and probably Wendy's, those weren't cut off of a chicken breast. I'll tell you that much. Those were created somewhere in a factory that makes chicken nugget in a mold.
Yeah, those are pretty good, though.
Yeah.
They are. I'll eat them.
Really good.
I'm not saying I won't eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't died yet eating them.
No.
And if I don't eat them.
And playing golf.
Yeah.
They're not going to eat themselves, you know?
Here's another McDonald's story. And no, I don't think that Wendy's heard about this because she would have had a field day with this. But this is, again, another Australian story. But there were a group of five men who entered up going to a McDonald's at 6:40 at night, and they were completely naked. Five naked men went to a McDonald's.
Cute.
Yes.
They probably mistook it for a nude restaurant. As simple that as that.
Oh, in France? Was it in France?
Yeah, they're like, they thought we're opening one of these in Australia. It's probably this one with the large M.
Right.
Let's just go in there. That's a problem. Okay. With nude restaurants, if they become more and more prevalent, everybody will just assume that they can take their clothes off in a restaurant.
Mm, yeah. Apparently they were on some sort of a
bath salts.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think that they may have been on some sort of a bar crawl or something.
The Guy Fieri thing.
they just wrapped FieriCon and they were got rid of their clothes.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody had money either. That's the other thing.
Yeah, unless they're keeping their credit cards, like literally they're giving themselves a credit card. That's the one time where that act becomes literal. You just store it in there. It's the only place.
A spokesperson for the McDonald's in question did not want to comment on the incident.
Why not? Wendy's would have commented.
Yeah.
Like, I love crack or something.
Yeah, Wendy's would not wait to comment. They didn't get arrested, but they do have to visit the police station at a point down the road.
And then a tribunal.
Yeah, it's a tribunal.
That's Australia. It's Australia. That guy got a tribunal for putting his GPS device in a potato bag. What are these guys going to get?
Well, they might not have been on the job when they went to McDonald's.
Yeah, they'll get a beheading.
Like, the electrician isn't on there's no legal ramifications. That I think he's trying to get reinstated, like, to work. Mm. It's like a electrician tribunal.
Naked people, I'm assuming alcohol was involved here. A lot of alcohol, right?
Yeah, it was a bar crawl at 6:40, so I'm not sure if the happy hour is on the same schedule in Australia as it is in the U.S. They do look maybe like a couple of blokes.
They were doing the bar crawl according to, like, New York time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the problem was that there was a bunch of families there eating dinner at that hour.
Even if there were no families there, there's still a problem.
Still a problem.
People should not be naked in a place where you also eat.
Right, right.
Because, like, you think about it, that's just more hair being exposed. Mm-hmm. The workers have to wear hair nets and hats. Here. But in the nude case, the guy's just shedding all over the place like a cat.
Right. All right. So that's the week in McDonald's news as well.
A lot of McDonald's news.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't think that these were related, the Wendy's bullying and the naked dudes?
Well, yeah, that could have been a issue where that these guys might have been bullied by the fast food restaurant. And they said, hey, if you're going to come back here, you better not be wearing a wire. You got to prove to us you're not wearing a wire. Oh, if you want to serve you.
Or these guys are digisexuals, and the Wendy's AI promised to send them nudes if they would go harass a McDonald's.
Yeah.
So they basically got
go sexually harass a McDonald's.
They got cat filet fish.
Yeah, exactly. That's just one of the many possibilities.
Boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, don't invite these guys to Nick Cage Con.
This Wendy's thing is going deep.
I like that. I think we should call it the Cage of Con.
The Cage.
Cage Con.
The Cage of Con.
Or what about Con Cage? Or Con Cage. Air?
Yeah.
And by the way, if we do a Cage Con, Con Cage.
You mean when we do?
When we do, people cannot come naked. And Wendy's can't come either.
Yeah.
Because we don't want bullies.
Oh, dude. They are
recording devices.
Target you. They have their crosshairs on you now, Danny. The second this podcast is released into the world, they're going to come for you.
They're coming for you.
You know how many naked dudes in cars are going to show up at your house now?
That would be disturbing if, like, just a herd. I don't know what you call a group of naked men. Like a quorum of
a
naked
gaggle.
Men. A gaggle of nudies were outside my door. But that's easy. I can solve that problem easily.
A pride.
What would you do?
I'll just release a bunch of beeps.
A shul.
I should.
A swarm.
Do you have bees at the ready, Danny?
No, I could probably get some, though. Order them online. The naked men show up. They're totally not prepared for a bee attack.
Do you have, like, yeah, and within 2 days, when Amazon shows up 2 days after the naked guys get there, those bees are going to be ready to attack.
Dude, you just release those bees, and I don't know if anyone's ever been charged with assault with bees. I don't think you can. Are bees a weapon?
Can you load up your drones with a bunch of bees, Danny?
Or use my drone to guide some bees to the naked men.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. More news on that. Danny, do you have any news in the old bolt hole?
Welcome to there it is. Bolt hole.
This is what we're going to come out to at Nick Cage Con. I think you're
going to feel you. It's appropriate.
Yeah, it is.
Daniel ride in on a donkey at Nick Cage Con. There'll be a donkey.
I will. That sounds like if I ride in on a donkey, I'm pretending like I'm Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Yeah.
Riding a trash animal, just like Jesus did.
Yeah, he did, because he's not going to come in on a giant horse, you know, with a sword. He came in on a donkey. It was a trash animal.
He's not going to come in on a giant horse with a gold saddle.
Yeah, that would
be
cool.
He didn't want any of the gold till after he died and we built buildings for him. Then he's like, I want all your gold.
Yeah, funny how it worked out that way.
Yeah, can you put all of your gold into that building?
He saw suddenly he loves gold.
He loves it so much, dude. It's crazy how much he loves money and gold.
It's weird how that coincided with everybody else loving gold.
Yeah. It's only part human after all.
So, guys, one of the worst things about being married, right? And this might be enough to flip you to a digisexual, is, and I'm sure you'll agree, try and decide where to eat with your significant other is such a pain. I don't know if it is for you guys. Is it?
Yeah. No, I don't even choose anymore. I never will even choose.
But here's the thing. If you give them the option to choose for the group, right, which I often do, they're never confident enough in their choice to say, this is what we're going to eat. Like, okay.
There's two places I'll eat. There's two places I will force us to eat. I'll force us to eat Thai food or Indian food, but Rachel likes both of those. So she's usually fine with it, but those are the only two places where I'm like, let's go get this right now. Other than that, I'm like, well, where do you want to go? And then it's like, well, I'll give you a list of 60 restaurants, and then from that 60, you choose one.
That's what we do. We do it the funnel, right? We narrow it down.
Funnel it back and forth till somebody comes up with one.
Yeah, I'll get like a clue in terms of like, I want to go someplace that we can sit outside.
Yeah, so like, I want to go someplace romantic, and then you're like, well, how about Golden Spoon in Palm Springs?
Yeah. Here's the problem, right? That when both sides try to compromise, you end up going to a place that just sucks, and nobody wins.
Applebee's.
Right? Yeah, Applebee's. Liz and I recently did that where everything was a compromise. The restaurant was a compromise. The food was a compromise. And so we left the restaurant having paid to get garbage that not even a donkey would eat because those trash donkeys. They're getting better vegetation in India than we got in that restaurant. But here's the staggering thing. A recent study showed that the average couple spends 132 hours a year deciding where to eat.
Wow.
132 hours a year. And
that
I thought,
can't be right. That can't be right.
Okay.
And then you times that by 1,000, and that's how much the average couple spends on going out to eat per year.
So look, let's say that number isn't correct. Let's say that it's at least close. Even if you spent 80 hours a year trying to figure out where to eat, that is just ridiculous. And I kind of believe it, because I would say the first, every time we go out, we spend at least 15, 20 minutes discussing and breaking down and working through the stupid system of finding out where to eat. But 132 hours.
Just go to Wendy's, Danny.
Well, I don't think I'm welcome there anymore. That's the problem with this podcast. I'm really like, I can't go to naked restaurants.
You're only welcome. Yeah. You're only welcome at like four. You're not welcome at naked restaurants, and you're also not welcome at all the ones that still do the clothing.
Or any that are owned by Wendy's. So that's probably a huge amount. Taco Bell will take me, but my wife won't eat at Taco Bell, so that's out.
Del Taco is the compromise.
What about Buffalo Wild Wings?
Well, here's the thing. The more restaurants I get blocked B-dubs. From, the easier it becomes to decide where to eat. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the way to save some time is get yourself banned by all
I'm
the
only
restaurants.
Allowed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only four restaurants within the 50 miles that I'm there for.
Mm. And it sounds like you can get banned by just walking in with your dong exposed. Like, that'll probably get you
really? Banned. You think that's enough?
Well, I'm guessing that these guys probably can't go into that McDonald's after harassing it.
Yeah, they might not be able to go into public anywhere for quite a while, too.
You know, I almost feel like that walking out with your genitals exposed is worse than what these guys did, where they were just completely naked. I feel like that's more offensive.
Like, if you just pull it out the zipper and walk around, that is probably going to look worse. Right.
Like, they're
having
completely
no clothes
naked.
On at all.
More flagrant.
You say, these kids, just come down to the police station next week. You walk around with your genitals out, you're going to jail, my friend.
I agree, actually. I don't know why I agree, but I think you're correct. It's far more
offensive.
You mean
the old flagrant sealskin watch flesh belt buckle trick?
There's a perversion there where it's like, these crazy streakers, well, what are they doing?
Okay, at what point, though, do you have enough clothing? What if it's just socks? I'm totally naked, but just socks.
No, that's the most offensive. That's fine.
Says that's I think fine. That's fine. Socks are fine. Footwear is fine.
Because it's funny.
But I think anything like, once you add a shirt to the mix.
Okay, so I've got socks and a shirt, a t-shirt, but I'm naked everywhere else. What? Jail.
So what about pants, but no shirt?
Are they around your ankles? Jail.
Jail. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
But what about pants around your waist with your genitals hanging out the fly, but no shirt?
Look, we wanted to create a chart about trash animals.
Still
I think
bad.
We need to create a chart about nudity.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying it has to be all nude except for you can have some footwear, but definitely the second.
I think a watch is okay.
Rob, how about this?
A watch is okay.
A two-piece woman swimsuit with my squirrel wings poking out the side.
The frog eyes?
Yeah, the frog eyes. Jail? Okay, nothing poking out, but
are you by yourself or are you in a group? If you're in a group, you're okay. If you're
so the group is kind of like a...
Yeah.
If it's a herd of goofballs.
It's like, oh, it's
how does that make it? How does that make it different? That's just more offenders.
Getting hazed in a fraternity? Yeah.
That should multiply the incident. Incident that should be worse if you have a group.
Yeah, it wasn't your idea. You just got running with a bad crowd.
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah, that's the excuse they used in Nuremberg.
Did it work?
No. I think that the naked loner, is for some reason always worse. Although you would think a group of five guys would be terrifying, but it's not.
Yeah. Would you rather see one guy naked, Danny, or five guys naked?
Five guys. I find it so weird that I say that, but one guy naked, just being him, I'm very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Right? Because there's only one
place let's keep going with this. Well, what about either two guys or 30 guys?
30 guys.
30 naked guys.
Because look, the more people there are naked, the more places I have to look. Mm-hmm. If there's only one guy, I only have
dilutes
one place.
Dilutes it.
Yeah, it kind of dilutes. I can spread my eyes. I can like move around and still make it feel like it's a normal situation, even though it's not.
Okay, what about naked ladies?
Oh, they're fine.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
One 100.
One naked lady, 100.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah. The naked woman is probably not going to jail under any circumstance.
Yeah, those... I
think that's incorrect. I think a naked woman would also go to jail.
Go to jail? I think they might have get a ticket.
If a naked lady was just wandering the street in public, like Times Square.
If five women had gone into McDonald's, in some ways, I think they would have been treated more harshly because we're like, oh, it's just a bunch of bros being bros.
Yeah, I don't think that the woman being naked is treated as a perversion. I think it's just like, oh, she's lost, she's confused. But I don't think that she's like the naked man with like his pants around his ankles.
He's definitely doing something aggressive.
A sex offender. The naked woman who's walking around, again, unless she's doing something obscene, I think I don't think that that's necessarily considered a sex offense.
Well, I'm going to move on from this topic to avoid being classified as a sexist. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just all agree that there that one
that women
person,
and men are one, both equal and no, we love
no,
both
that
genders.
One naked man is a dangerous thing. We can all agree on that.
Yeah,
right?
We can all agree that if you see one naked man in public somewhere, don't try to make any type of contact with him.
Do not make eye contact. Do not approach.
Yeah. Do not approach. He's dangerous.
Do not approach. No approaching.
But anyway, back to my topic about restaurants. Maybe that's not the best strategy. If you want to narrow down the list of restaurants that your wife can choose from and you want to eliminate some, there's probably better ways than just walking into a restaurant naked, because we've now proven that that is the most offensive thing you can do.
Okay.
Get a bunch of bros.
If you're by yourself.
Me, Tyson, Rob, if all three of us went in, it would be a joke and maybe.
Is one of the criteria for your wife is that I just don't want to go somewhere where a bunch of guys are going to walk in naked.
McDonald's is out. That's
a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't want her to compare dong size.
Anything.
Yeah.
What are those muscles on his stomach?
Oh, no,
I don't know.
He just drew those on because he was being bullied.
Yeah. Yeah.
His mom did that.
I don't know what those are, but it's not
natural. Tattoo sleeve shirt.
No, should we be worried about those open sores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we should not.
Yeah. All right. I think we had a lot of different ideas today. Do we have an idea for a hashtag?
I think something CageCon. Yeah. CageCon.
Trash animals.
Nicholas CageCon.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff. Let's let the listeners that are live give them a second to marinate on that. Tyson.
Con Air Cage. Faraday Cage Con.
Yeah. Donkey Con Care.
Danny versus Wendy's.
Danny versus Wendy's.
And then you also have to mention Danny in it and then say what Danny said, all the negative stuff Danny said about Wendy's. Yeah. You can mix your own negative stuff up.
Danny
about
said
Wendy's.
Some negative stuff about Wendy's, stuff that has been repeated by millions of people every single day about Wendy's. All right. So I'm hardly just the one person out there saying despair.
You don't want to get in a Twitter war with Wendy's?
I don't want to ever go to war, whether it's a real war or a Twitter war. I want to just, sit at home and just be ignored.
Well, I thought you were going to fight the good fight for the little guys.
Oh, I won't fight a fight for anyone, not even myself. I'll just cower in the corner and curl up a ball. That's the advice
Wendy's,
I'm giving
you
my
win.
Kids.
Wendy's, you win. Here's $100. I don't even need any food in exchange.
I don't want any food in exchange because I won't eat it.
Yep.
Wow. Danny, still with the harsh talk at Wendy's after.
let's workshop some tweets, Tyson. Okay.
But
at Wendy's, just heard at Danny Bryson say, your spicy chicken sandwich is nothing. He's eaten ghost peppers that are way hotter.
The spicy chicken sandwich is actually the one thing I will eat from Wendy's. I had one 3 weeks ago.
But so only because it's so mild and not spicy.
No,
just
only
like
because
you said.
Everything else was closed. But it was
okay. How about this? Whoa. At Wendy's, have you heard what at Danny Bryson is saying about you? Zero respect. Sad.
But then they would go to my Twitter and they'd be like, this guy hasn't tweeted in like 5 years.
Twitter. In private conversation.
Yeah. Well, then that would work for anyone. Oh my gosh, you should hear what Tyson's saying about.
Yeah, but not if it's not prefaced like this, then they're not even going to respond. Whoa, international famed podcaster Danny Bryson belittles Wendy's in front of huge audience.
Yeah,
there you go. That's probably better. That's better to get a response.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, at Wendy's, just heard that at Danny Bryson is team at McDonald's.
Oh, McDonald's would retweet that.
Yeah. I do like McGriddles. The other day I tried in an Instagram post to thank at McGriddle, hoping that, I could thank McDonald's because, you always thank your sponsors.
Yeah.
And someone actually had McGriddle. It was a person. I thought that's felt wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That does feel wrong.
All right. We'll see next week if anything really starts to take hold in terms of this big rivalry. So the official, what was the official hashtag of, I see Frosty Wendy's Danny, Donkey Tribunal.
Danny versus Wendy's.
Donkey Tribunal. Oh, I like Donkey Tribunal, but I couldn't tell you why.
You like that one.
It's Danny walks back his comments, the hashtag.
Okay. How about, I like Donkey Tribunal.
Donkey Tribunal, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have to do with me or Wendy.
Dang it. So you left that hard just to get us off the scent of getting you into the limelight with Wendy's.
Yep. Don't forget about it totally cat worked. Filet-O fish. All right. Tyson, did you have any reviews about News AF?
Yeah, I'm pulling them up right now, and okay. It's really only going to take a couple seconds here.
Okay. All right. Of course, next week, I'm going to be on my way to Austin, Texas for our next live cool. show on Tuesday. So we have to figure out something for the News AF schedule. So just be sure to check Group AF for a programming update when we get to, when we figure that out coming
okay.
up. All right, Tyson.
Yeah. It's doing the pinwheely spinny thing. So that's, I can read one of our very first reviews, or I can read our very
yes, let's
first
see, have
review.
Have the reviews improved over time, or did people feel like that we peaked in the early days?
Let's see. I can see the top two right now. The two very first ones. A trustworthy and reliable news source, 5 stars, by Koronek, November 3rd, 2015. Rob and Tyson are a dynamic team that are dedicated to providing the most current actual factual news from all over the world. Their humorous delivery of the news makes their podcast more entertaining than NPR by far. That was pre-Danny. That's when we did a couple shows without Danny yet.
And we even had...
Second review.
Yeah, NPR Upside.
Yeah. That's with even without Danny.
Without Danny.
Here we go. Actual factual review, 5 stars, by Diana Manning. This advanced version of Rob and Tyson discussing the news with Danny is my go-to news place. I can listen anywhere I am. They discuss important news topics. This podcast is a refreshing way, whether that is which discusses important news topics. This podcast is a refreshing way, whether that is which Chipotles I should avoid or the popular Halloween costumes in my city.
Yeah.
News AF is a reliable news podcast for everyone to enjoy. 5 stars.
Right. We should the news resource for most people. Like, they should be like out to dinner arguing with their spouse about what place to go to. And they say, so what news have you been looking at lately? Well, did you hear about FieryCon?
Yeah. FieryCon 2017.
I hear they're doing Nick Cage Con next year.
Yeah, Nick's Cage Con is next year. Everybody sign up now. Get your tickets.
Yeah.
Cage Con. Let's just call it Cage Con.
Mm-hmm.
That just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, but honey, did you see what Trump tweeted?
But what if
about
Nick
Trump.
Cage's wife already
tweeted?
Has a Cage Con?
Yeah. Wendy's is out of control on Twitter.
Rob. I'm sure you already have this in your mind, but basically we start out with the jokes. Oh, it's a lighthearted podcast. We're going to get more and more political and just push our political views on everyone as hard as possible, but nobody will see it coming because they're like, that's the funny podcast, right? Well, they were really dark and serious today. And Danny, we didn't realize he was such an extreme right-wing conservative.
That's what's it's all coming.
Yeah, it's a slow build.
Prepare yourself.
Nobody's the wiser. Because Danny pretends like he doesn't care about politics. But right now, the wheels are turning.
Mm-hmm. It's all happening.
Tyson, if you could look into my brain and see what wheels were turning, you would be horrified.
I would. McGriddle, 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 McGriddle.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Great job at Danny Bryson, the number one enemy of Wendy's on the internet.
Uh-huh. Enemy number one.
Hey, great job at Tyson Apostle. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.